Amen. Well, in Slidell, Louisiana, probably never heard of it, there was this guy named R.J. Richard. Now, check this out. This was not too long ago. This was in the news. He was riding his lawnmower along. He was tending to his five-acre spread. And when all of a sudden, you know, he's kind of cruising along on his little John Deere. I don't know if it was a John Deere. And he felt something hit his chest. And so he kind of, you know, thought, what in the world was that? He thought it was a rock. So the guy actually, stops the mower and he gets down and, you know, he kind of felt in his chest there. He pulled out his cell phone. Well, as he pulled out his cell phone, he noticed that there was this bullet that sort of fell into his lap as he took out his cell phone. And believe it or not, it was a .45 caliber bullet. It was actually stopped by his trusty Motorola cell phone. I'm assuming it was a Razor. I don't know. But for some reason that day, homeboy decided to put it in his pocket, whereas normally, you know, he didn't put the cell phone in his pocket. But I can kind of understand. I have a riding lawnmower too, and I don't like to put it in my pocket because I'm afraid that when I'm on my mower, it's going to fall out and I'm going to run it over. So I put it in my pocket too. Well, anyways, he put it in his pocket, and, you know, he gets hit with this bullet. And you know, the thing that was crazy about this was that this tiny little cell phone had stopped a stray bullet that had come from the woods nearby. And, you know, he sort of sat there, and this article had many other things to say about this. But one thing it did say was that he felt like a changed man as a result of this, sort of his second chance at life. And it was kind of hilarious because his wife said that, was actually quoted as saying that he's doing more of the right things now. And apparently this was sort of a big impact on his life. Well, you know, I wanted to open with this funny story because this guy definitely had something to be thankful for, something immediate. Something that was, you know, life-changing in one sense. But let me ask you a question tonight as we jump into this 100th Psalm. Is what kind of things are you thanking God for? You know, I think as Americans we have a tendency, especially right now with the way the economy is and just the humdrum of everything in our culture, that we have a tendency to be people that instead of being thankful, we tend to be unthankful. We tend to look at the things we don't have instead of the things that we do have. And the blessings that we have rather than the things that we think we need. And, you know, Webster actually defines the word thankfulness as being conscious of benefit received. Being conscious of a benefit that has been received, or could even be thought of as feeling or expressing gratitude. There's an old quote that I read by Cicero. He said, "A thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but it's the parent of all other virtues." You know, as we look into this 100th Psalm tonight, this psalm basically is about thankfulness. It's about being a thankful person. It's a challenge to us, I think, as people, as Christians, consider the things we should be thankful for. You know, the truth is, thankfulness, guys, is a major, major part of godly character. You know, as the world watches people who walk with God, they should be people that always have something to be thankful for. And I think for a lot of us, I, and guys, just don't think that I'm, you know, saying I'm any better than anyone else, because I think sometimes, too, I find myself being unthankful and I have to remind myself. Usually, it's when I go to the Chick-fil-A and I'm in the drive-thru and it takes more than 5 minutes for me to get my chicken sandwich. And I'm a very unthankful person. Now, sometimes I've tried to deal with this issue in my life. And, you know, for many of us, the drive-thru can be a pretty good test of how thankful we are. You know, we sometimes can be upset that we had to wait extra long. But, you know, we can always be thankful that we get the good, greasy, heart-stopping food that, you know, comes after we wait in line. But thankfulness is very important. You know, it's, I think, understanding how blessed we are as people that know God. It's really part of walking in the light. You know, that term in the Bible of walking in the light or walking in the truth, seeing life in light of reality, in light of the reality that the scriptures tell us. I think it's part of being exposed or saturated with the truth. It causes us to be thankful. You know, it's interesting that the Bible actually speaks of something very sort of disturbing in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. You don't have to turn there, but you can sort of write it down, maybe go back and look later on. It actually tells us there in 2 Timothy, that's the verses where Paul the Apostle is speaking to Timothy, and he's saying that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, proud, boasters, blasphemers, goes on. He names all these things. But one of the things that he names as a characteristic of the people in the end times is unthankful. Unthankful, unholy, unloving. Unthankfulness is a characteristic of people during the time when Jesus will return. And so I think that that's telling for us, because as we consider all the other things the Bible says about the time that Jesus will return, and we know that that time is soon, that we live in a culture that is characteristically unthankful. You know, I was just talking to a friend of mine today who works at Starbucks, and, you know, having worked in the food service industry for a while myself before I was in ministry, man, it is so telling when you work in food service to see how completely unthankful people can be. You know that, and I don't know if you guys know this, but if you don't work in food service, you probably don't. People dread working on Sundays because they have to deal with church people. I think that that is just shameful. I think that people should be excited to work on Sundays because the church people are going to be nice and thankful and kind and, you know, all the fruits of the Spirit, but unfortunately, sometimes that's not true. And I think we're in danger of being taken down that road if we don't heed what the Word tells us, especially here within this 100th Psalm. But the Bible specifically tells us that one of the characteristics of people in the last times is, in the last days, is unthankfulness. And I think that that should cause us to consider where we get our example from and what kind of people we are. And I believe the opposite should be true for us as Christians. So tonight, I want to point out how the psalmist gives three things about God that can help us be people, and this is the title of my message, that are thoughtfully thankful. People that are thoughtfully thankful. Now, there's a lot of things that we're thoughtful of, but many times we can always grow in the area of being thoughtfully thankful. And there's three parts to this, and really in just these five verses, there's sort of three points that I want to draw from this idea. Thoughtfully thankful, number one, because God is worthy in verses 1 and 2. And then the second thing, that we're thoughtfully thankful because God is powerful. And we see that in verse 3. And we should be thoughtfully thankful because lastly we see in verses 4 and 5 that God is good. So he's worthy, he's powerful, and he's good. And God should be our source of thankfulness. So look with me there, the 100th Psalm, looking at verse 1 and 2, as we see first that thoughtfully thankful people we should be because we recognize that God is worthy. Well, the psalmist writes this: "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." You know, this psalm, it's a very short psalm, but it's very rich. It was commonly called a psalm of thanksgiving, which is why most of our Bibles have that little subtitle above it that's just sort of what it was often called by the Jews. It was a psalm of thanksgiving. The Jews say that it was penned to be sung with their thank offerings that they would give to the Lord as a sacrifice. They would be reciting this psalm. And really, there's three things to see that the psalmist tells the people to do here. I want you to just notice sort of an observation in these two verses. He tells them to shout, to serve, and to sing. You know, I wanted to stop there because many times I think we're in danger when we hear commands given in the Bible. We sort of go, oh, you're going to make me do something. You know, this sort of like an obligation. But we need to remember that really everything that God asks us to do is in response to who he is. And we should want to do those things based upon who God is. And so there's these three things he says here: to shout, to serve, and to sing. And so that first thing that we're called to do is make a joyful shout to the Lord. You know, that word or phrase, joyful shout, It actually means to sound an alarm. Sound an alarm of joy to the Lord. Now, I think that there's a great many people out there as Christians that can sort of make this look weird. You know, that Christians are these joyful people. Oh, wow. You know, they're all bubbly and giddy. Oh, come here. I love you. Yeah, oh, joy. I think Christians that have the fruit of the Spirit when it comes to joy, and when we're giving a joyful shout to the Lord, I think a lot of the times it's just us responding to the goodness of God in our lives. And, you know, just sounding an alarm. I think, you know, that although it's the illustration of sounding an alarm, it's a warning, you know, like, you know, most of us have a security system in our house. The alarm goes off. Something's wrong. When it comes to making a joyful shout, I think it has a lot to do with us acknowledging the good things that God does in our lives through casual conversation. You know, when we're going to make a joyful shout to the Lord and we're going to sound an alarm and we're going to make recognition for what God does, it can be something that happens in casual conversation or something that we even mention to those that are even unbelievers in our lives. I mean, God is so good. Look at what He did in my life. I think as Christians, we need to be around this 24/7. We need to be around people who are making joyful shouts to the Lord. They're sounding an alarm. You know, I think people that are like this, that choose to do this, are sort of magnetic within the Christian world. You know, that when there's someone that's always got something to praise the Lord for, that's encouraging. It's helpful. Well, the second thing there is to serve the Lord with gladness. And guys, this is so important. Because the command or this instruction that's given here, serve the Lord with gladness. Well, see, a lot of the times we can end up serving the Lord with obligation or ungladness or sadness. Don't serve the Lord with sadness, but with gladness. To serve here means to work or labor. And of course, you know, it's an act of worship, as we see in Romans 12:2, that tells us that we should offer ourselves a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable act of worship. Serve the Lord with gladness. And really what the psalmist is kind of talking about is the idea of doing things for God with a cheerful heart, not a heart of frustration. You know, I just want to challenge you guys. If you serve the Lord in some way, and honestly, if you're a believer, I mean, when you're taking care of your kids, you're serving the Lord. I mean, when you're making your finances at home, you're balancing your checkbook, you're serving the Lord because you're being a good steward of the things that God... You know, there's just so many ways that we serve the Lord. We need to always keep in mind what it says in Colossians 3:23 and 24. It says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So the Bible tells us whatever we do, to do it unto the Lord. But here the psalmist sort of gives us this instruction to serve the Lord with gladness, with pleasure, with glee. Oh, Lord, I get to do this for you. See, when we have the right perspective, we're serving the Lord with gladness. If you're ever doing something for God and you don't enjoy it, there's two things you need to do. First, you need to pray and say, God, should I be doing this or not? Usually God says, yes, you should. I don't know if He says it that loud or if it's in that voice. But usually it's not a matter of us doing the wrong thing. It's that we're looking at the thing we're doing wrongly. We're doing it in a way where we're focused on what do people think? How well do I do it? Rather than, God, I'm doing this for you. See, that's serving the Lord with gladness. And keeping the Lord as the focus, sometimes that's really the second thing that we need to do, is consider who or what we're doing that thing for. And sometimes we need to refocus. I don't know anybody who's ever served the Lord who doesn't get to a point of going, I just really don't like doing this anymore. You know, for me, I did skateboard ministry for years, and everybody thinks, oh, that's such a cool ministry, man. It's just so much fun. Man, have you ever hung out with a bunch of stinky kids all day long? Have you ever, you know, set stuff up and then go, where's that other ramp? Where's it at? What's going on? You're like sweating. You just set up a whole skate park. Where's that other ramp? Hey, look, man, I've been out here for a while, dude. it's easy to cop an attitude. And, you know, a lot of people think that that ministry was, ooh, that's so cool. You know, there were times where I didn't want to go out and do that. And I had to say, Lord, am I supposed to do this? Yes. Okay, well, I need to get my focus in the right place. I need to remember you and you being my motivation. You're the whole reason why I'm out here doing this. So many times we can think about things the wrong way. So the psalmist says, serve the Lord with gladness. He also says here, come before his presence with singing. This is important. Because the psalmist sort of exhorts his readers here. He's sort of saying, hey, come to God from a place of praise. Come before the Lord with an attitude of praising him, recognizing him. You know, we sang tonight several songs that mention the word hallelujah. You know, just praising God, just worshiping God, coming before him. You know, I think that that's part of worship, like we sang tonight in song. We prepare ourselves as we drive, as we sit here before the music even starts. We come from a place of praise. It sort of feeds into us even singing the songs with the right heart. I like to worship the Lord by myself in my truck as I'm covered in paint usually or some construction material. And just worship the Lord. Oh, Lord, you're good. Come before his presence with singing. You know, sometimes I think when it comes to worship, we can't see the forest from the trees. You know, God wants our heart. He wants us to come from that place of praise. But you know, what requires us coming with praising God is remembering who God is, what he's done. So many times if we just remember what God has done, what we'll be wanting to praise him. You know, for me, one of the things that's really caused me to be more worshipful recently was a guy in our church who, and I don't really have time to go into the whole story, but let me just tell you this. 2 years ago, someone sent us an email. Hey, my daughter married someone. He's not saved. She's not going to church. Fast forward all the way to today. This woman who finally started coming to our church, brought her husband. Eventually, he got saved. And now he's just on fire for God. And he went recently, it's before he left town, and he got this Christian tattoo on his arm. And I was just like, oh, that's pretty cool, dude. And that's a whole nother subject. And I just, oh, wow. And you know, he said he went into the tattoo shop, and he told the guy with his other tattoo that was sort of this ungodly sort of skull in flames or something. He was like, hey, I need to get this fixed. And they're like, well, that's a sin around here to go over any artwork. You know, and they really gave him a hard time. And he says, well, look, I'm saved now. And I want this to reflect. And he just started going on. And he had no idea how he was blessing me. And I just said, oh, man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, Warren Wiersbe said that this phrase should be posted above all of the exits of the church. It says, enter to worship and depart to serve. I think that's a good thing. Enter to worship and depart to serve. So shouting, serving, and singing all should come from a place of gratitude. And again, it has everything to do with realizing that God is worthy. He's worthy for us to make a joyful shout. He's worthy for us to serve him. He's worthy for us to sing to him. Well, we would do wonders, I think, for our worship life if we took time to reflect on what God has already done for us. Many times we don't do that. Many times, I think for a lot of us, you know, we press on in prayer. We want to see God do new things, but and that's good. But we need to remember the things that God has already done. Because we can be productive that way, but we need to also base it upon the things he's already done. Well, we need to be thoughtfully thankful because we acknowledge that God is powerful. Look at verse 3. He goes on to say, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Know that the Lord, he is God. You know, the psalmist points out here that as God's creatures, we should submit to him as the creator. We recognize that he has made us and not we ourselves. You know, the world around us, they believe that they're self-made. There are many people that are striving to be self-made people. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. I'm always scared when people even remotely say that, because the Bible says pride comes before a fall. And when we get self-confident, God is usually there to sort of, you know, let us fall. Let us find out who we really are. You know, as followers of Christ, we should submit to the shepherd who died for us, who now leads us. You know, he's the shepherd. He's the good shepherd, as he calls himself. See, God gives the intelligence for us to do anything that we do. So who are we to not submit to him? See, we don't recognize many times the Lord is the one who has blessed us with so many of the things in our lives. And we forget that he's powerful. We forget that he's orchestrated things. We forget about his sovereignty. We forget about how just amazing he is. And many times in our own flesh, we can sort of become greedy and selfish. And I think that leads us away from being thankful. I think the more that we recognize how powerful God is, the more we have a reason to be thankful. I think the person who understands and knows that the Lord, that he is God, that he is working in people's lives, that he's working in our lives, that's the kind of person that ends up believing in what the Proverbs talk about is the fear of the Lord, the respect of God. So he's powerful, and we should submit to him. But the last thing that I want to point out is in verses 4 and 5 is we're thoughtfully thankful because we know that God is good. And this, I think, is just such a pinnacle point to make when it comes to being thankful people, that we recognize the goodness of God. Look at verses 4 and 5. Again, he says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." See, the psalmist tells the people here, based on who God is and what he has just spoken, to come with a thankful heart. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. His courts with praise. Be thankful to him. There are clear commands that are given here to be thankful. But, you know, I think for anyone that is in a relationship with God, you know, when we hear that phrase, well, you know, you should be thankful, that sort of convicts us. And we go, yeah, you're right. There's so much that I can be thankful for. Just hearing that exhortation to be thankful causes us to reflect and to look at all the things God has done. Notice that word is found there two times, thanksgiving and thankful. And in essence, just means for us to show gratefulness to God. And the Israelites, see, they did this, of course, by giving offerings. And of course, in the Old Testament, the priests were able to make these sacrifices. They were able to come into the presence of God and offer those things to the Lord for the people. But see, the coolest thing that I think about being a Christian is that when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, symbolizing that any of us as believers can come into that holy place, can come into the very presence of God. We can come before his presence. We can come into the very presence of God. We don't have to be in a church building. We can be in our own room. Can be in our own place and just come into his presence, come into his gates with thanksgiving. I think so many times we can help our prayer lives by actually thanking God before we ask him for all the stuff that we need him to do. What would happen if we spent a majority of time thanking God for things rather than asking God for things? I think many of those things that we ask for, we probably wouldn't. Because we would just be so blown away with the goodness of God. We say, well, Lord, you're probably going to take care of that anyway. So why do I even need to really ask you for it? Our sacrifices can include praise and thanks and even good works. Things that we offer up to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think we should serve the Lord from a place of, thank you, Lord. I want to do this for you because of what you've done for me. Not that I'm trying to earn my salvation or repay you in any way, but it's just me saying thanks. You know, sometimes we need to think and then thank. And here's what I want to say about that. We need to thoughtfully consider God. Somebody put it this way. They said, it has often been pointed out that thinking precedes thanking. When we are presented with a gift, it's because we think of its significance and meaning that we are led to express our appreciation. What then are the thoughts that entertained by the Christian lead to thanksgiving? Somewhere in our thinking, there should be thoughts of God. Perhaps we should start there. God. What a train of thought should be started when we think of Him. And he goes on to say, power, wisdom, goodness, grace, love, care. These are just some of the thoughts that cluster all over the place within the Word of God. Well, verse 5 tells us three things. It talks about God's goodness, His everlasting mercy, and His enduring truth. For the Lord is good. You know what good means? It means best, beautiful, bountiful. The Lord is good. We ask ourselves this question, you know, how has God shown me that His way is best? Is the most beautiful, is the most bountiful. I think many times when we reflect on asking that question, you know, God, you've shown me so many times how good you are. You know, the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's seeing how beautiful, how best, and how awesome God is that it causes us to want to change our direction. That's why I think many times we do our unbelieving friends and family and neighbors a great service when we, through our lives and conversations, speak of the goodness of God. Because the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. I think we can even share the goodness of God through the cross of Christ. Look at how good God is that He would give His only Son. Again, those things speak of the goodness of God. Well, in verse 5 in the middle there, it talks about His mercy is everlasting, His loving kindness. See, mercy is God's love resulting in us not getting what we deserve. His mercy. God doesn't give us what we deserve. Instead, He shows grace and He gives us what we absolutely don't deserve. Forgiveness, redemption, salvation. I think the more we recognize God's mercy in our lives, the more we will want to thank Him and praise Him. In other words, here's what I'm saying. The more we recognize, God, I probably should have been busted for this, but you just sort of let me slide and let me learn a good lesson. And we say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think many times God shows us mercy by not answering our prayers. Or He answers our prayers. He either says yes, no, or wait. But usually when He says no, He's showing us mercy because we kind of go, and later on we look back and we go, oh, wow, I did definitely, I'm glad, Lord, you didn't answer that prayer that the way I thought it should go. Well, the last thing is one of my favorites. It says, and His truth endures to all generations. See, God's word is never going to expire. His word is faithful. It's trustable. It's reliable. I don't know about you, but with all the change that goes on around us, isn't it awesome to know that the standard of right and wrong does not change? God's word doesn't expire. There's so much anarchy in our society because of people throwing out the standard of right and wrong. When there is no standard, it's really just a matter of opinion. And who's louder than the other guy? But His truth is enduring. His truth endures to all generations. God's word is so good. So as we finish up our little study here, you know, God, He clearly tells us in His word to be thankful. And there's many commands all through the scriptures to be thankful. And for time's sake, I can't go into all those, but it's a good study for you to do on your own, just to look at thanksgiving and being thankful throughout the scriptures. But the truth is, guys, just to put it plainly, we have every reason to be thankful people. We We have every reason to look at our lives and go, oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Even when things are bad, we can be thankful. Even when tragedy strikes, even when evil seems to overpower things in our lives or whatever goes on, we can still see the goodness of God. We can still be thankful. I believe that one of the biggest problems with being thoughtfully thankful is that we forget what God has already done. I like to think of myself as having or being ADD, attention deficit disciple. And I just forget many times how good God is, and I just don't pay attention, and I need to remember, okay, Lord, look, you've been faithful with this before. You know, many times we get in a financial crunch or we get in a place of difficulty and we immediately become attention deficit disciples. All we can see is what's going on right in front of us, and we need to do ourselves a favor and look back and go, God, you were faithful then and you'll be faithful now. And when we don't do that, we can get ourselves into a very dark and despairing place. So because of the psalmist's understanding of God, he was motivated to give thanks, and therefore he calls believers to do the same. And so I think based on these things, we can become more thankful people when we see that God is worthy, that he's powerful, that he's good. See, being thoughtfully thankful is a conscious choice. It's something we have to choose to do. Guys, if we are prone to only see every negative thing around us, it will be harder for us to be thankful people. But the more that we thoughtfully consider God, thoughtfully consider the things that he's done and is doing and will do in our lives, the more we will have to be thankful for. And so it's a conscious choice, but it's something that we must practice and work on in the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want to close with this story, and I love this story, and I think that for many of us, this story is just encouraging overall about being thankful. Corrie Ten Boom, maybe you've heard of her, wrote the book called The Hiding Place. She relates an incident that taught her always to be thankful. And this is a very powerful story. She said she and her sister Betsy had just been transferred to the worst German prison camp they had seen yet. It's called Ravensbrück. And on entering the barracks where they were keeping all of these women, they found that they were extremely overcrowded. And the worst part was that they were flea infested. Now, some of us have never had to deal with fleas, because I'm a reconstruction guy, I've unfortunately been exposed to nasty fleas. And they crawl up your legs and they bite you. And they're just terrible little insects that I don't understand why God created them. But that's a whole other subject. Well, it was a flea-infested barracks. And that morning, their scripture reading was from 1 Thessalonians. And it had reminded them, she says, to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. Betsy told Corrie to stop and thank the Lord for every detail of their new living quarters. And she goes on to relay that, you know, she said flatly she refused to give thanks for the fleas. But Betsy actually persisted, and Corrie finally succumbed to her pleadings. During the months that, you know, they spent at the camp, they were surprised to find out how openly they could hold Bible studies and prayer meetings, and they never had ever had any interference from the guards. And it wasn't until several months later that they learned that the reason the guards would not enter the barracks was because of the fleas. And so the fleas, although they were a nuisance, were something that they could be thankful for, because it opened up the door for them to, you know, have the study of the Word. You know, I think many times, guys, we need to ask God, show me what I can be thankful for in this situation, and be open to how the Lord would speak to us. But I think overall, guys, to be thoughtfully thankful is something that we constantly grow in our maturing process in the Lord. Let's pray.